If you didn't get a carnation, raise your hand, moms. Okay, where's our girls? Can y'all get the carnations for these moms? We can't have moms in here without carnations. That just wouldn't work very well on Mother's Day. Okay, so but you know, we wanted just a special way for us to say thank you to our moms. And because, you know what, the moms, if it weren't for what you do, then the church would not be what it is. Okay, and that's not just because you're a mom, because you have kids, okay? That's because your moms and what you do as moms, and we just express our appreciation to you for that. So we're getting flowers, we're getting carnations for our moms. They have them out there on the table. Okay, put your hand down until they come back in, all right? So you don't have to stand there and get your hand all over there. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and begin with our lesson this morning. And we are doing a series of lessons called What Must I Do to Be Saved? And this is basically a study in Christian fundamentals. Now, this morning, we're going to be talking about confession, all right? Confessing Christ. And but before we begin our lesson, and this is just a little bit more time here for them to get the flowers in there also, all right? I want to tell you about our movie night, our movie afternoon, next week. Okay, ladies, raise your hand if you did not get a flower yet, moms. We got flowers out here for them. Here we go. Rose got a couple of them up here. We got one up here, too. Raise your hand. Judy didn't get a flower here. She needs one. Okay, is that all the moms? Judy, you get three flowers. Okay. Thank you, girls. We really appreciate it. All right. Now, let me tell you about this movie that we're going to have next Sunday. We have a lot of stuff going on next Sunday, but Brian's going to be showing this movie, Me Again, 5 o'clock next Sunday right here in the church, in the Edge Hill Church of Christ Theater. Okay, you know we have a theater, do you? We do. On the third Sunday of the month, we have a movie afternoon, and I encourage you to come out and take advantage of it. So this is a great movie. I think it's going to be really good for us. And if you can come out and share that time with us, I know Brian would appreciate that, and we just want to encourage him in what he's doing. He's got movies, by the way, for one a month for the rest of the year, all the way through. So some good stuff. All right. Okay. Let's go back and as we begin our lesson here, we're talking about this Christian fundamentals, answering the question, "What must I do?" And it goes back to in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, when Peter is preaching to the people, and basically he convicts them of their sin of crucifying the Messiah. And upon the conviction, the Bible tells us there that upon hearing this, they were cut to their heart, and they asked that question, "What must we do?" Okay? So this is a series of lessons that we're doing to go back and focus on the basics of Christianity, the steps of salvation. In other words, to answer that question, if a person wants to be saved today, what do they need to do? What must that person do? And it's answering that question because a lot of people are still answering that question today. Okay, when people are cut to their heart and they're searching, they're trying to find the answer, they want to know, what must I do? And the answer to that question is the same today that it was back then. And an important part of understanding why these things that we're focusing on are so important is to understand this particular passage that Paul talks about, Romans chapter 6, where he talks about the fact that they wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which they had been entrusted. They were taught the gospel, and they wholeheartedly obeyed it. But the important part here is that there is a form here. There is a pattern. That's what that word means, okay? We would use the word recipe today. That there is a recipe for making Christians. And that recipe is the same one that was used in the New Testament times of the first century. And when we tell people the same thing today that they told people back then we're going to get the same results. When people ask that question, what must I do to be saved? We give them the same answer that people were given back then, we're going to have the same result. And people are still searching, they're still asking that question. We need to be prepared to answer it part of the reason that we're doing this study also is for us to make sure that we understand ourselves. You know, a lot of times we as Christians, we've been Christians for a long time, and it's easy for us to kind of lose sight of what some of these things are really all about. So it's a reminder also to us. We started out this study talking about faith. And we realized in that study that faith is not just simple intellectual acknowledgement that God exists. Okay? That faith is a verb. Okay? It requires us to act upon what we claim to believe in. You see? So the foundation that we lay in all this is our faith. The faith that calls us to do what God has called upon us to do. Last time we talked about repentance, and we looked at the fact that repentance is not just a matter of saying we're sorry for something. That repentance literally means to turn from one thing to another. That we are changing direction in our lives and turning from the world and turning to God. In other words, a person cannot be a Christian, they cannot be saved and live in the world at the same time. So in order to be a Christian, in order to be saved, you got to stop doing what you've been doing and do things differently. That is according to God's Word. This morning, we're going to talk about the word confession and what does that really mean. Okay, there's some things here we need to make sure that we have a proper understanding. So let's go to the Greek, and we'll have a Greek lesson this morning because we need to understand the meaning of the word. The word in the Greek language for confess or confession, homologio, means to speak the same thing. Okay? To speak the same thing. Breaking down this word, homos means the same, and lego, to speak. And so when you put that together and you're understanding the Greek intention or use of this word, then it means to assert or to be in accord with or in agreement with. Now, that may seem a little bit different than what you typically think of when you think of confessing. All right? So let's talk about what that means. There are three different uses in the New Testament for this particular word, for confess or confession. The first one is to confess or to declare or admit. The second one is to confess by way of admitting oneself guilty of what one is accused of. The result of an inward conviction. Okay, so this is one of those ways that we typically think of the word confess. So I have to confess my sins. And of course, the Bible tells us to do that, doesn't it? Confess your sins one to another. Well, this is one way that we are to confess. But this is not the way that we are to confess, you say, in order to be saved. All right. This is what we do as we need to confess our sins, in other words, and we need to continue to do that even after we're saved. But there's another way that this word is used that we want to focus on this morning, and that's this third one. To declare openly by way of speaking out freely. Such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. In other words, do I in my heart deeply believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, then I confess that. I speak out, you say, that belief and that conviction in my heart. That's how we're looking at the word confess this morning, the part that we want to focus on in this. Let me explain to you another way. You know, we have this idea, this concept of staking your claim on something, right? You know, throughout history, when somebody, you know, found a gold mine or a silver mine or doing an Oklahoma gold rush, or a land rush rather, people were given a flag and they registered their number with the land office and you go out and you find that place that you want, that piece of property, and what do? You stick that flag in the ground, and that is staking your claim. Okay? And what that means is that you are proclaiming your ownership to that property. So you put your flag or your marker on that ground and it's mine. And that's what staking your claim is all about. It says, this piece of property belongs to me, or this thing belongs to me. Well, the Apostle Paul, the text that we're studying this morning, says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, what does that statement, that text really mean in effect for us doing what we need to do in order to be saved? Does it really mean that all the person has to do is say, Jesus is Lord, and they're saved? No, that's not all that it means. Any more than it means if you believe, that's all you have to do is intellectually acknowledge that God exists, and you're saved. You see, what we're hopefully understanding from this is that there's this recipe or this pattern, that there's more to it than any just one thing that a person has to do, and they're saved. So let's understand, look at this a little bit deeper and understand what this is really all about, okay? What's happening here is when you make this declaration, you are staking your claim to Jesus as Lord of your life. See? So in other words, not just making an intellectual statement that something exists or what have you, but you are staking your claim. You're putting a stake in the ground and saying, Jesus is Lord of my life. Okay? So you stake your claim in him, and the result of that, okay, is that you are submitting yourself to him as Lord. That's different than the idea that we have of just make this confession, just say these words with your mouth, and you'll be saved. No, that's not what he's talking about here. You got to stake your claim. It'd be the same thing as if you go and you find that silver mine and you go, oh, that's mine over there. You might declare it, but if you don't stake your claim, it's not yours. Okay? It's not yours until you stake your claim. So just simply saying something doesn't make it. It's kind of like, you know what this is. You know, you got a group of people, you're going to get in the car or the van or whatever, go somewhere, and what's somebody do? Somebody hollers, I got shotgun, thank you. See, y'all know that. Okay? And then the battle ensues. No, I got it. No, I called it first. But you know what? Until you stake your claim by sitting yourself in that seat, it's not yours. Okay? So you stake your claim, and it becomes yours. Until you do, it's not yours. It's just words, is all it is. And so in verse 13, Paul is able to say, based on this idea of staking your claim, that's what he's able to say. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because it's not just saying Lord, it's staking your claim and claiming him as Lord of your life and submitting to his lordship over you. Okay? It's not about words, in other words. The words themselves are not what saves a person. It's not a magic formula that you say these words and you're saved. There's a whole lot more to it. You're saved by, again, staking your claim and giving your life in submission to Jesus. So when Paul says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, that's what he's saying here, that you are staking your claim in Jesus as your Lord. You are claiming him as yours. Okay? What you're doing, go back to our definition. That's saying that you assent to, that you are in accord with and agree with. You say, Jesus being your Lord. That you declare openly. You say, you declare openly by way of speaking out. All right, such confession being the effect of deep conviction of facts. So again, it's not just a matter of saying a certain statement. I was at a place the other day at a restaurant and found on the counter there where I was sitting this little card that they had placed out there and had the sinner's prayer on it. So just say these words and you will be saved. Well, you know, that's so untrue. It's so misleading because and there's so many people that think that that's all you got to do. Just say these certain words and you'll be saved with God. No, that's not the point. The point is not the words. The point is the deep conviction in our heart and what we do with it. And so we've got to stake our claim. And that's what confessing Christ is about, is staking our claim. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. Chapter 6. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your... Look at what he says here. He calls it a good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything. And look at this. And of Christ Jesus who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the same thing. That good confession. Well, what is he talking about? What was it that Jesus confessed to Pontius Pilate when he was standing there on trial before him? Well, Pilate asked him if he was a king. And Jesus said, "Yes, I am." And Jesus said then, I came to proclaim the truth. In which Pilate asked that all famous question, what is truth? You see, that's the good confession, is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul here tells Timothy, you made that good confession. You say, you claim Jesus as your Lord, and you continue to proclaim Him to others. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession. Your confession of what? Of the gospel of Christ. You say? The gospel of Christ. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. So you see, our confession has to do with sharing and telling others about our relationship with Jesus. The gospel message of Jesus Christ. The truth of the gospel. All of that is encompassed in this definition of confession or confess. So again, when Paul says confess with your mouth and you will be saved, yeah, because we're proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the fact that Him being so, He is Lord of our lives. We confess Jesus as our Lord and confess then His truth to other people. Without either one of those happening, we're not going to be saved. If you do not confess or claim Jesus as your Lord, you'll be lost. And if you don't, having claimed Him as your Lord, confess Him to other people, that is, speak out to others about Him, you'll be lost also. So you got to share your claim, in other words, with other folks. We need to understand an important part of this, this whole idea of confession, that it is conditional. In other words, Jesus tells us, I will if you will. What's He talking about here? Well, let's take a look at a passage here. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, and this is the New International Translation, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Now, understand something. The New International Version and the English Standard Version use this word acknowledge. Well, what is that word really all about? Okay? The word acknowledge in the Greek language comes from the word gnosko, which is the word to know. Okay? And so what's happening here is, what that word basically means is to recognize a thing to be what it really is. So it's basically the idea in part of intellectually acknowledging or recognizing something. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because that's not the best translation in this particular passage, okay? Because that's what a lot of people think when they think of confession. I just need to intellectually acknowledge and make this statement or even confess my sins, but that's not what he's really talking about here. You go to the King James translation, which is a more accurate translation in this particular case here. Here's what the text really says. The word that is used there is our word, confess. So Jesus says, therefore, whoever confesses me, okay, are you following me? Whoever states his claim before men, okay, I will also state my claim before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father in heaven. Well, take a look at this word deny. Okay, arnaomai basically means to disown. And that's what Peter did, by the way, saying with Jesus, to totally disown that person altogether. It's an example, as Vine gives here, as Jesus is Lord and Master. They're saying, He's not my Lord, He's not my Master. Okay. So what is Jesus really saying in this passage to us about the importance of confessing? If you stake your claim in me as your Lord, then I will claim you as mine before my Father in heaven. Okay? It's a matter of staking claim. You stake your claim in me, and I will stake my claim in you, that you belong to me. But if you disown me before men, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. In other words, he will say, as he talks about in Matthew 11, depart from me, I never knew you. See? If you don't stake your claim in Jesus, that's what you will hear. Depart from me, I never knew you. Okay? And that's, again, why the Apostle Paul could say what he did. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Because it's not just a statement of words that we're making, but it is a statement of our claim that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I submit to Him and His Lordship over my life. When a person does that, that person is saved in Jesus Christ. If you stake your claim in Jesus as your Lord, then He will stake His claim in you as belonging to Him. And that's what I want to hear. You are mine. Okay? You are mine. You belong to me. The only way that can happen is if we stake our claim in Him. You cannot live in the world, you cannot deny Jesus in your life on a daily basis, and then turn around and say, oh yeah, but He belongs to me. And the reason I say that is because that's what so many people who call themselves Christians are doing. They say Jesus is Lord, but they're living their life in the world. And what they will hear at the end is, I don't know you, depart from me. So the issue is one of staking your claim. Okay? Have you staked your claim in Jesus as Lord of your life? We have the opportunity for you to do that this morning if you have not done so. Do you believe, as we've been talking about, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died for you and for your sins? See? And are you willing and ready to repent, that is, to turn from your way of sin in the world and live for Jesus? If so, you're ready to stake your claim in Jesus, okay, then stick that flag in the ground, so to speak. Stake your claim in Jesus as Lord of your life from here on out. You do that, you can be baptized this morning to wash away your sins, those that are separating your sins and what separates you from God. You can have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism right now, this morning. Become His child. You cannot become His child without believing in Him. That is, living your life in belief and following Him in obedience. And turning from your life of sin. And claiming Him as your Lord. If you haven't done those things, you can do them right now, this morning. And I just urge you to confess Jesus as Lord. There's something else going on in your life. You're trying to live your life for Christ. You've done those things to become a Christian or be saved. But maybe there's something you're struggling with in your life. You need to get rid of that. If sin that Satan has you bound to, then let's get rid of it. See? Confess or admit. And that's that part of the confession that we need to do. See? So we can get rid of that that's blocking us in our relationship with God. You can do that this morning. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone that would like to come up and have a prayer with the congregation. Or Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private conversation or prayer with him. He'll be back there to receive you. But the opportunity is available to you to confess this morning if you need to. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Let's stand together and say.